to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, February 13, 2022, by the Reverend Eric Williams. I don't know if it was 20 years ago or so, there was a really corny movie that came out with Michael J. Fox called Doc Hollywood. Anyone remember that movie? So Doc Hollywood, this young guy, comes out of medical school, and he has come from a humble background, and he wants to be rich and famous and successful, and so he gets hired by a plastic surgery clinic in Beverly Hills. And he's making his way in his little sports car across the country to start his new, fantastic, successful life. And of course, things don't go as planned. His car breaks down in the middle of nowhere, and he has to spend time in this little, tiny, small town. And he meets the people, and he has adventures and misadventures, and by the end of the movie, he has completely changed his point of view, changed his goals, and his life takes a radically different turn. I thought about that contrast between Doc Hollywood and the Beverly Hills plastic surgery clinic. Little aside, I once dated a girl who was the daughter of a plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills. And I think Michael J. Fox was well off not going there. That's a weird breed, I gotta say. But I thought about that because our scriptures today are full of contrasts. Contrasts that show the difference between a life according to the values of this world and life in the values of the kingdom of God. These contrasts are made in very stark terms. Jeremiah tells us about the difference between those who trust in the world of mortals, earthly things, and those who trust in God. And the psalm, very similarly, those who are righteous versus those who are unrighteous. And then Paul talks about in Corinth a dispute, a contrast between those whose faith is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus and those who don't believe in the resurrection, a theological contrast. And then in the gospel, Jesus gives us the starkest contrast of all. This, you might have noticed, is familiar but not familiar. Did you pick that up? Well, the version that we know better is from Matthew. Matthew, where the sermon is on the mount. Jesus is up on the mountain talking to people, and he tells them about the Beatitudes, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, right? But Luke gives us a different version. In this version, Jesus is not up on the mountain, but he's down with the people. He's on the level plain. And he speaks up to his disciples, because in Jewish tradition, the rabbi, the teacher, would sit to give the teaching. And this is akin to Moses giving the law. So Jesus is sitting down, teaching his disciples. And this is the very first teaching that he gives his disciples. He has just called them in Luke's gospel, and this is the very first official teaching about the kingdom of God. So we know it's incredibly important. And what he says to them points to the radical contrast between the life they have known and the life that they are about to embark on. In the life they have known, and the life most of us live in, it's way better to be rich and to be full and to be happy and to be well thought of. Isn't that what we all aspire to be? To have everything? To be all of those things? I mean, it sounds pretty darn good. But instead, Jesus flips it around. Woe to those who are rich, who are happy, who are full, who are well thought of. Blessed are those who are poor and hungry and scorned. Particularly, and think about this in the light of the disciples, particularly if it's because they have followed Jesus into that life, a life not of material prosperity, but a life of service, a life of sacrifice, a life of following Jesus and taking up their cross. He is trying to make sure his disciples have no illusions. If you're following me to get rich, you've got on the wrong train. You need to get on the train going the other way, because this train, while it's bound for glory, is not bound for earthly glory, not bound for earthly riches, not bound for fame and fortune. In other words, it's not the Doc Hollywood train to Beverly Hills. It's going to a different destination. That contrast is really important for us, because I think we struggle with those same issues. We are bombarded with messages that tell us that we are not worth anything until our bank account reaches a certain level. Not worth anything until we have achieved success, whatever that looks like in our particular field. Not worth anything unless everybody speaks well of us. And the challenge is to tune out some of that and to be focused on a different calling. I love the imagery in our scriptures today of trees. I love that imagery. I was reading an article recently about a German forester named Vollenberg. He's been studying trees for a long time, and he's taken a tack that was very controversial at first. It's becoming a little more acceptable now. But when he studied trees, he noticed something interesting. Some trees seem to be more resilient than others. Obviously, the ones that had better soil and were closer to a good water source, they did well. But sometimes in a forest, if there was a challenge, like an infestation of pests or a fire or some kind of a challenge to the tree, the trees nearby would react before it had reached them. And he began to postulate that there was some kind of communication going on between these trees, some kind of connection that had hitherto not been known. And so he said, usually when we look up at trees, we look at their beautiful, majestic trunks, and we look at the branches, and particularly the leaves. I remember being in California in the Muir Woods and seeing the giant redwoods and just being in awe. There's something so holy about that place, to be in the presence of these ancient, massive, incredible living things, to breathe the air that just seems extra saturated with oxygen, and to feel just more alive somehow in that context. But Vollenberg said, we spend our time looking up at trees. The real action is down below. The real action is under the ground. The real action for trees is in the root system, just like our scriptures tell us. It is the trees planted by streams of water with good root systems that are the most successful, the best off, the healthiest. And Vollenberg found that it was at the roots that these trees were communicating. I don't pretend to understand the science of it, but something in the way fungus works, they were able to actually share nutrients between trees and their root systems, and actually to share messages about fire and about pests. And the trees down the chain would make changes to be more resistant to those predators. Amazing. It seems to me that our call, as we think about these scriptures, as we imagine these amazing trees, is to spend less time on the leaves and branches and trunks of our lives, the outward signs of our prosperity, the outward signs of our success, the outward signs even of happiness, and to look a little more deeply into our root systems. What's going on under the surface? How are our roots doing? How are we plugged in to the source of living water that comes to us from God's Spirit? How are we experiencing the renewing power of God in our lives? How are we sharing that life with each other in networks of sustaining love? I see that in so many ways. Talk to so many folks who have been throughout this terrible pandemic where we felt so cut off from each other, connected through the amazing gift of technology. Who knew that we would be able to sustain a kind of Christian fellowship through Zoom? Who had ever even heard of Zoom before the pandemic? We used it a little bit when we were doing our bishop search process, but it was not something I ever expected would be a big part of church. And yet, it has helped us to keep our roots connected. Even more important than technology, though, is the gift of prayer. The intercessory prayer that unites us with each other, that keeps us connected with our friends and family and fellow parishioners and loved ones who are suffering. Suffering in the hospital, suffering with illness, suffering with emotional or other challenges. And it is through this network, like those trees with their roots connected, that we are able to share the sustaining love of God, to encourage one another, to support one another, to draw strength from each other, to resist the winds of drought and heat and pestilence and all the struggles that we face spiritually, physically, and emotionally. We're about in a couple weeks to start our Lenten pilgrimage again. And to me, it's a wonderful opportunity to intentionally take time to ask ourselves, what are our roots like? What might we do to strengthen and sustain our root system? How might we return to practices that help us ground ourselves in the message of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the power and the encouragement of Jesus, to tune out the world's messages of hollow and empty success, and to turn again to the deep meaning of God's eternal and abiding love. May our roots sink deep into the well of Christ's love. May those roots connect with each other as we continue to support one another in this Christian pilgrimage. And may we grow strong and resilient to face the challenges of this and every day. Amen.